Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to today's ASUS Trading Update conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you would like to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference call is being recorded today, Monday, 17th of December 2018. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Nick Beaton. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining the call at short notice. You'll see this morning we've got out a detailed statement bringing you right up to date with what we're experiencing. It's a full statement, and we'll of course do questions later on, but we may be limited to what else we can add at this stage. We've also, you will note, we've scheduled a further trading update on the 15th of February to further update you. While we've delivered 14% sales growth for the 3 months, we are disappointed to be adjusting our guidance down for the rest of the year. Trading conditions continue to be very difficult. November, which you'll know is one of our most important months for us in terms of sales and profitability, was significantly behind our expectations. In light of this, we've recalibrated our expectations for the rest of the year. You'll also note we have rephased and reduced our CapEx for the coming year. We will not be distracted from the long-term opportunity and we will continue to invest in it. For the 3 months, ASOS has grown again, sales up 14% on a group level. UK has been a standout performer, still at plus 19% sales growth, but France, Germany and Australia have been particularly weak. You'll see we now believe, as a consequence of the November trading, that our previous profit weighting between H1 and H2 of broadly 30 to 70 will shift substantially towards the second half. We do remain in a period of heavy transition costs, which will run at a peak of $30 million this year. The drag on profitability that this gives will decrease towards the end of FY19. We are managing inventory and our stock levels, and I'm comfortable with the current levels of stock. I'm also comfortable with our cash and headroom, even at peak drawdown. Liquidity is not an issue for us. ASOS is an agile business and will continue to deliver profitable sales growth. Neither our ambitions for the long term will change or have changed. I believe that our currently guided EBIT margin of 2% for this year is a low point for us, and we can return to previous levels in the medium term. As I said earlier, we'll be updating you again on December and January trading, mid-February. And for anybody who's not got the full call, we'll be putting a recording on our website as soon as we can later on today. I'd now like to hand over to any questions. Thank you, operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Rebecca McLellan. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It's Rebecca at Santander. Can you hear me?
Hey, Rebecca, I can hear you.
Good. Just can you talk about what you've seen in December so far in terms of sort of revenue trends and discounting, please?
Yes, I can.
Is it basically just a continuation on November, or is there any respite?
No, so for the 3 months, we did 14%. November was behind that quite significantly. But for the first 2 weeks of December, we've seen a slight uptick, but only marginal. In spite of those trends, we've still felt that it was prudent to recalibrate our plans for the rest of the financial year.
Okay,
in terms of discounting, we have seen in fashion an unprecedented level of discounting, certainly something I've not seen before, and that's been across the board. We responded to some of that by increasing some of our own promotional weighting, but we've certainly not gone as much as what we've seen in our peer group.
Okay. And sorry, Nick, the uptick is versus 3Q or versus November? I'm guessing 3Q, right, for December?
Yeah, 3Q, yeah. So it's substantially greater than November, but it's an uptick of from the first quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Simon Irwin. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Just X-ing out, presumably there was an impact from weather, et cetera, but can you tell us a little bit more in terms of what categories of kind of working or not working and where you're seeing this, or do you think that weather itself is a big influence?
So weather's, of course, an influence. We don't normally call that one out because we're a global business. I can certainly see within menswear and womenswear category a substitution effect towards lower ASP items. We've not seen some of the performance that we'd normally expect from our higher ASP items at this time of year, which is normally the outerwear and knitwear. So there's a bit of that going on. But the clearest trend is more about a substitution effect towards lower ASP. But I can definitely see weather impacts. It's playing more to me as more of a fragile consumer and rather than just pure weather.
Okay, and in terms of other categories, I mean, are you seeing anything different, say, in sporting goods or anything like that?
So in terms of ASOS brand, we've seen a very strong performance in ASOS activewear, but still very small. We've also seen a very strong performance year on year from our face and body ranges, which again is still very small but growing nicely. In terms of menswear, one of the things we've seen specifically in brands is a slowdown in sneaker brands, which has been quite dramatic. So that's the clearest trend in menswear on third-party brands.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Cochrane. Your line is open.
Good morning, Nick.
Hey, Adam.
In terms of looking at the how the consumer has manifested itself within this period, I think we can all understand the bits around the UK. I think we read that day in, day out. But could you just give us a bit more of a flavour of what you think might be going on across Europe?
Yeah, I can. I'll try. So UK is still a decent sales growth, albeit we've achieved a strong UK sales growth with extra promotion that we didn't expect to put in there. Some of the trends that we've seen, particularly in Europe, I mean, Europe's grown as a category by 18%. France and Germany have been particularly weak. We start to see weakening in the German market towards the second half of last year. We thought some of that was self-induced in terms of the actions we took ahead of the Eurohub transition. We put some of those things back in the first quarter, but it's continued to be weak. So France and Germany, which are around 60% of the European mix, have grown very, very low double digits. So there's something in France and Germany that's affecting the consumer, but it's not just UK. In Australia, in rest of world, Australia and Russia are around 40% of the rest of world category. We've seen a weakness in Australia since the GST that was put in place. Now, we've seen very, very recently Australia improve, but not enough to change the numbers in the first quarter. In terms of US is broadly in line with what we're anticipating, and we know the opportunity for the US particularly will strengthen in the second half next year when we deploy the rest of our investments. Does that help, Adam?
The rationale behind you increased the promotions in the UK, which clearly helped, is that something that you just didn't want to do in other markets?
We did it in all the markets, but we didn't want to. We did what we thought was appropriate, and going to drive the right level of customer acquisition. But UK is clearly 40% of our business, and so the cash impact of that in the UK is quite dramatic too.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Your next question comes from the line of Michelle Wilson. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Michelle.
Just looking at the performance across regions, the UK performance was actually still reasonably strong. Was there any kind of managing of demand across Europe and the US because with the level of discounting, orders became unprofitable, like we saw in Q3?
The only managing of demand was in Europe, and not in not specific to the US. It was specific to the German and European market, Germany specifically. But what we have done is we during the quarter we ramped up some of our customer acquisition within Europe, particularly Germany, to recognise that we might have gone too far in the final quarter of last year. On reflection, our Black Friday promotions that we did in all territories apart from Russia and Australia this year, we probably could have gone harder. It was a difficult decision because we saw we went light for light with a 20% offer. When we looked at what else was out there, 20% just didn't seem to be enough relative to what others were putting out there.
Okay, thank you. So in terms of, I guess, the next few quarters, it's still possible to deliver to Europe profitably, even if the level of discounting continues?
Yeah, albeit in part of my recalibration, I've taken the prudent approach at saying I can't see a big uptick in France and Germany for the rest of the year. Outside of France and Germany, the European market is the European markets, albeit insignificant individually right now for us, but material in total are growing at greater than the last 3 months group average.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Simon Bowler. The line is open.
Hey, Simon.
Morning, Nick. Couple of questions. First one, you talk kind of into kind of some specific product categories. Just as a total, were there significant differences between the revenue and gross margin trends of own brand versus third party? And then secondly, what kind of assumptions have you built in with regards to kind of level of marketing spend versus where you had expected before?
Sure. Can you just tell me the first one again, Simon, because you were on silent and your words swallowed a bit.
Sorry. Just in terms of kind of own brand versus third party, were there any significant differences between the revenue trajectories and gross margin trends of those kind of overall categories?
Not really. You know, ASOS Design is a higher gross margin than third party brands. And that's not really changed. The level of discount and promo we offered was across the piece. So there's nothing really material between brands and ASOS Design there. Nothing where I can help you with on that one. In terms of, what was your second question, marketing expenditure for the rest of the year?
Yes.
Right. So in the recalibration, we're anticipating 15% sales for the full year, which is a slight improvement of what we've experienced in the first 3 months. We've also anticipated the same sort of level of gross margin investment for the rest of the year. Of course, that means we've taken down some of our costs. But in taking down some of our costs, what we've also anticipated is ramping up some of our marketing expenditure to acquire more customers in the balance of the year. So I'm expecting marketing expenditure to be slightly stronger than I originally planned.
Okay, great. And then kind of one final one. In terms of kind of thinking about the flexibility in the buy across the second half of the year to kind of recalibrate for the new level of expected demand, are you kind of concerned from an inventory perspective of how quickly you can change that, or are you is it easy to move towards this kind of new level of expected growth?
No, we buy constantly and we set our plans constantly. Some of the third party brands are on a longer lead time, but we are resetting our buy plans based on the new level of expected demand, and I've got no concerns that we won't be able to achieve that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.
Your next question comes from the line of Miriam Adisa. Your line is open. Please ask your question now.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Just one question on the CapEx. I'm sorry if I missed this. I wasn't on the first part of the call. But with the revised CapEx, could you just talk about exactly what you're cutting? So you're not spending sort of 30 to 50 million. What exactly is that? Thank you.
So what I'm actually doing is rephasing, and the of the 40 million rephasing, it's effectively delaying some of the final automation and mechanisation for the Atlanta warehouse. So I'm moving it for probably no more than 6 months. And the logic behind that is the level of capacity and demand that I needed at this new level is means I can do that quite sensibly for move it back for 6 months. So that's the majority of the rephasing. A couple of the IT projects are being rephased as well, which means the overall CapEx level for FY19 drops to 200 million.
Great, thank you.
All right.
Your next question comes from the line of Emily Wan. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Morning.
Emily. Morning.
Just a couple of questions from me. So firstly, you've spoken about your headroom on the bank facilities and returning to free cash flow positive in FY20. But could you talk a bit about your view or attitude to net debt or level of net debt throughout FY19? And then the second one, could you just talk a bit about the competitive landscape, particularly in the UK and Europe and Germany and France, where it was weak? So is there anything that's changed there? So are there any other of your peers that are perhaps a lot more stronger or promoting exceptionally heavily in this period? Thank you.
Sure. On liquidity and net debt through the course of the year, based on the revised recalibrated plans, we expect net debt at the end of FY19 to be around 40 million. So that's slightly different to what we thought, but no more than 40 million. There's two moments of peak drawdown, the ones behind us in terms of end of October, and the next one's in March. At the peak drawdown in March, we have significant headroom, so I'm very comfortable with all of that, and it drops substantially from March down to the level in August that I've just said to you. In terms of competitive basis, what specifically did you want me to call out, Emily?
So if there's anything's changed dramatically, so are there any of your peers that have perhaps been a lot stronger? So, you know, we've heard from H&M today whose sales growth held up, or is there anybody promoting particularly heavily, for example?
Yeah, I've been astonished at the level of promotion and discount, particularly around Black Friday, and that wasn't just UK, that was in Europe as well. I haven't seen any substantial new competition take away any of our share, which is something I would stand for. I just think the overall level of promotion and discount has been for this period has been much greater than we thought was going to be the case. Calling out individuals is probably inappropriate, but you'll be able to see some of those yourself, Emma.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Charlie Muirsons. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. It's Charlie from Exane. Two quick questions, please. The first one is to understand your change in your retail gross margin guidance. Obviously, down 150 for the year is similar to what you've experienced year to date. Is that because you're expecting a big markdown impact in Q2, or would you anticipate still running negative in the second half? And then the second question was just on your comment about Australia and the slowdown you've seen since the implementation of GST on imports. My understanding was that you were going to pay for that yourselves rather than get your customers to pay for it, as it were. So I just wondered, is that a lack of customer understanding which is making them more reticent, or is there something else going on? Thank you.
Okay. Gross margin. No, we're not expecting a big markdown in Q2. Hello? Charlie?
Yep.
Are you standing in a wind tunnel?
Just heavy breathing.
Yeah. We are not expecting a substantial markdown in Q2 because our stock levels are slightly higher than the year-on-year run rate, but not in a position that I'm uncomfortable with, and they're being tightly managed, as I said. What I'm effectively saying in my recalibration is the level of trade for the balance of the year is going to require a similar level of promotion to achieve. Now, that's the call I've made on the recalibration. I could be wrong, but that's what I've effectively said. So it's effectively going to achieve 15%. I'm using the evidence of the last 3 months and going, it's going to require that sort of extra promotion. So that's what the judgment's about, rather than we've got an awful lot of stock to clear, which we haven't. In terms of Australia, you're partially right. The GST was 10%, as you know. We absorbed half of that and passed 5 of it on. So in the eyes of the customer, it's a 5% delta. So that's one of the issues behind it. In parallel, what we also had done within for the Australian market is we'd trialled two new proposition improvements in terms of faster refunds, which we know is a key issue for customers, particularly. So we tried that in Australia first, and we tried some new payment methods, which launched towards towards the end of October. So both of those we thought are going to improve the experience for customers. We've seen some benefit from that, but the fact that we didn't do Black Friday, which with the benefit of hindsight looks like a tactical error, has taken back the sales in Australia more than we anticipated. Does that help?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
All right.
Your next question comes from the line of John Stevenson. Your line is open.
Hey, John.
Hi, morning, Nick. I really wanted to talk about that bit, actually, just in terms of the, I suppose, the execution piece around Black Friday, because I guess if September, October was okay, and you're talking about November, and obviously it is about, largely about the Black Friday campaigns, we saw a lot of, you know, two-week campaigns, a lot of days of Christmas, that sort of stuff. I mean, to what extent is this actually a miss on the Black Friday sort of tactics? You know, what did you see around traffic and engagement around Black Friday? Did you have a loss of voice in the market effectively? And you know, did you not sort of, you know, approach that peak with the right level of discount?
So if I just disaggregate Black Friday, one, customer offer globally, and two, operation and tech performance. Ironically, the operation and tech performance was extremely smooth. Our distribution capability, our technology, and our customer service was the best we've ever experienced. What I think here is, in the eyes of the customer, our offer was not strong enough relative to what others were offering in terms of the discounting. I've already called out, with the benefit of hindsight, the Australian Black Friday offer we didn't do. Now, that's because they do a click frenzy the week before. We thought it was the right thing not to do that. And in prior years, it's Black Friday in Australia hasn't been as big as it appeared to be as big for us this year. So if I had my time again, I would have done that. But that would have meant, obviously, a bigger dilution in gross margin too. So when we went into our Black Friday plans, we largely did like for like. With exception, and with the benefit of hindsight, I might have gone harder. But the big call here is some fragility in the underlying consumer, and what I'm seeing, the key trends that I've not experienced before in terms of average basket value decline. Average basket selling price is down 6%. Average basket size is up 3%. Those are trends I've not seen for the best part of 9 years.
Okay, very clear. Cheers, Nick.
Thanks, John. Right, operator, there appears to be no more calls on LeaderView, so thank you very much, everyone, for joining the call at short notice. I'll just reiterate, we have achieved 40% sales growth in a difficult market, and we are taking all the right actions. We thought it was prudent to recalibrate our expectations for the full year and share it with you as soon as we thought it was practical. And just to also reiterate, our ambitions for ASOS in the medium and long term have not changed, and we'll continue to invest to achieve those, to achieve that prize for us. Thank you very much. We'll be around later if you want to follow on. All right, have a good day.
That does conclude our conference today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.